Radio Prague News.
The Italian developer Grandi Stazioni is to get 565 million crowns in compensation for lost investments in Prague's main railway station after losing its 30-year lease of the premises. Finance Minister Andrej Babiš has come under fire for proposing last-minute changes to the law on electronic cash registers just a week before it is due to go into effect. And the Czech animated film Happy End, a black comedy about death with a happy ending by film director Jan Saska, is on the shortlist for the Oscars. Czech Railways will pay the Italian developer Grandi Stazioni 565 million crowns in compensation for the money invested in the reconstruction of the main railway station in Prague. Grandi Stazioni lost its 30-year lease of the main railway station in October of this year after repeatedly failing to meet the reconstruction deadline. The Czech Railway Infrastructure Administration rejected its request for another two-year extension and asked Grandi Stazioni to vacate the premises. The developer is demanding 765 million crowns, but Czech Railway says it has not produced evidence the extra 200 million were actually invested. Finance Minister Andrej Babiš has come under fire for proposing last-minute changes to the law on electronic cash registers just a week before it is due to go into effect. Mr. Babiš, who had been holding out against proposed exemptions for months, on Wednesday unexpectedly announced he wanted e-shops and small entrepreneurs exempted from the duty to introduce electronic cash registers. The proposal reportedly elicited an angry reaction from Prime Minister Sobotka at Wednesday's session of the government, and has come under fire from the opposition, who have fought against the law from the outset. The law aimed at countering tax evasion is one of the government's flagship projects. The hard coal mining company OKD will terminate mining at its Paskov mine in the Friedeck-Mistek district, North Moravia, by the end of March 2017. Around 700 miners are set to lose their jobs as a result of the closure. The rest of the employees will be moved to other mines that are still in operation. OKD, which employs some 12,000 people altogether, faces severe financial difficulties and filed for insolvency in March of this year. Political analyst Petr Obeshek has announced the establishment of a new conservative party on the Czech political scene. The party, named Realists, is to defend family values, security and national interests. Obeshek, the party's founder, is hoping to attract dissatisfied right-wing voters and puts the party's voter potential at 20%. According to Czech Radio's analyst Maria Baslova, the party could win over voters from the Civic Democrats, Topo 9, Dawn and Ano. It should be ready to register new members in January. The Czech animated film Happy End, a black comedy about death with a happy ending by film director Jan Saska, is on the shortlist for the Oscars in the animated shorts category. The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences announced on Wednesday. Other animated shorts included on the list are Inner Workings, Piper and Pear, Ciders and Cigarettes. Nominations for the 89th Annual Academy Awards will be announced on January 24th, and the trophy ceremony is set for February 26th. And finally, a look at the weather forecast. Friday should be partly cloudy to overcast across most of the Czech Republic, with rain in places and day temperatures between 6 and 10 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Fellinger. Here's what we have coming up in today's program. A bill aimed at preventing cabinet members from owning media outlets is again in the spotlight. Details in a moment. We look at former operations by the East German Secret Service in Czechoslovakia, the Stasi. And a little later in today's panorama, how the arrest of two young Czechs charged with terrorist activities in Turkey has shocked the nation. That's all ahead. A bill aimed at preventing cabinet members from owning media outlets is again in the spotlight. According to a freshly published opinion, the amendment targeted at Ano's millionaire boss, Andrej Babiš, is unconstitutional. However, the other coalition parties dismiss that argument and are pushing ahead with the legislation. Ian Willoughby has the story.
In September, the Chamber of Deputies passed a bill barring government members from owning media outlets. The legislation is so obviously directed at ANO chairman Andrei Babiš, who owns two major dailies and the country's most popular radio station, that it's widely referred to as Lex Babiš. Next week, MPs are set to vote again on the bill, following its return from the upper chamber. However, the Parliamentary Institute, a research institution that serves both houses, has just produced a study declaring the Lex Babiš unconstitutional. Its reasoning, the part referring to media ownership, does not apply only to government members, but to all elected officials, including local councillors. Andrei Babiš has long been arguing that the bill is unsound.
The Constitution gives me the right to own and also the right to be in politics. We have a clear law on conflict of interest, which I adhere to. Everybody knew in advance what I own. I'm clearly transparent. This law is clearly unconstitutional. It's a made-to-measure law targeted at me. We'll see how it turns out.
The other two partners in the coalition government, the Social Democrats and the Christian Democrats, dismiss the Parliamentary Institute's finding as being a mere opinion and are pushing forward with the bill. There are now two versions of it, the original one and the Senate's. Under the latter, the law would come into effect next September, not in January. Christian Democrat MP Marian Jurečka says either would be fine with his party.
We as the Christian Democrats are prepared to support both versions of the bill. We will discuss both at a parliamentary group meeting because they don't differ significantly. We aren't paying much attention to the arguments being put forward by ANO. If they have a major problem with it, let them put forward their own version. They've still got time.
According to Social Democrat Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka, his party and the Christian Democrats have agreed to back the Senate version of the bill. As for the opposition parties, they by and large support the amendment, though they've not all reached agreement on which version to support in next Tuesday's vote. If the bill is passed, Mr. Babiš has signalled that he may take the matter to the Constitutional Court.
Ian Willoughby reporting. Now, it's probably widely accepted these days that all countries spy on each other, even states on their so-called allies. And a book presented in Prague this week about the former East German secret police, the Stasi, shows how that was true of the fraternal communist countries of the former Eastern Bloc, including the former Czechoslovakia. Chris Johnston has this story.
East Germany's notorious secret police, the Stasi, was one of the biggest and most feared in the communist bloc. So it was perhaps not surprising that it would want to extend its operations beyond its borders and take in other communist countries as well, so that it could keep an eye on its citizens abroad and on developments in socialist brother countries. And as German historian Christian Domnitz's book, Cooperation and Control, The Work of the Stasi in Other Socialist Countries, recounts, former Czechoslovakia was an important and significant outpost for the Stasi's operations. Domnitz's former colleague at the Stasi Record Agency, Georg Herbstritt, explained the circumstances surrounding the expansion into Czechoslovakia.
Actually, in Czechoslovakia, Stasi established an outpost in 1965. The background is that in 1961, the Berlin Wall was constructed, and so the inner German border was closed. And more East Germans tried to find other ways to flee, to escape to West Germany. And so the East Germans started to look how it is possible to flee via other countries. And that, as a consequence, led to the fact that the Stasi installed such groups in Bulgaria in 1962, Hungary in 1964, and in Czechoslovakia in 1965.
The Stasi operatives worked in Prague, Karlovy Vary, Bratislava, and even in Slovakia's High Tatras during the holiday seasons. The overwhelming aim was to keep an eye on East German citizens where they might meet up with West Germans and to prevent them fleeing to the West. The Stasi appeared to believe Czechoslovakia's western border was particularly porous and in particular focused on the triangle of spa towns in West Bohemia. But they also took an interest in internal Czechoslovak matters as well, especially when Prague appeared to be drifting away from what East Berlin believed to be the correct communist orthodoxy. Given their limited resources, the Stasi often had to call on their peers in the Czechoslovak Secret Service, the STB, for help, and this was not always happily given. Georg Herbstritt again.
Generally speaking, I would say the STB accepted the Stasi presence in Czechoslovakia, but they didn't like it really. They caused a lot of trouble, a lot of work, and it didn't help the Czechoslovakian really.
Stasi operatives abroad could often not speak the local language and were not necessarily tuned into local culture, and that was probably another source of resentment. Towards the end of the 1980s, the Stasi in Czechoslovakia turned away from focusing on preventing fellow citizens from escaping across the border and concentrated on counter-espionage. But by then, there were signs that the regime at home was in deep trouble and that the Stasi's days could be numbered.
And that was Chris Johnston reporting. Don't forget, if you'd like to comment on any of the stories you've heard so far in today's program, please do so by writing to english@radio.cz. Also visit us online and on Facebook and on Twitter, where you may also find out news about the Christmas competition. So find information there or at our website, radio.cz. Now, though, it's time for today's main feature, Panorama, hosted by Daniela Lasarova.
The arrest of two young Czechs who have been charged with terrorist activities in Turkey has shocked the nation. Marketa Vselichova, 24, and Miroslav Farkas, 30, were detained by the Turkish authorities earlier this month and have been charged with gun running and membership in the Kurdish People's Protection Unit, YPG, which the Turkish authorities consider a terrorist organization. To find out more about the couple's activities in Syria and why they tried to cross the Turkish border, I spoke to one of their friends in the Czech Republic, Janusz Konechny. He began by telling me how he came to know them.
2 months ago, I saw an interview with Marketa Vselichova, and after that, I contacted her, and later we met and discussed about the situation in Syria and in the Rojava. And I know that they were very crazy. I was not a supporter of that crazy action, but I was very worried and take care about it. So I make an interview with that on my camera, and I ask them to be informed about each step in Syria, because I can react and help them if they be in the trouble.
If they get into trouble.
So,
They've now been accused of being part of the YPG, of engaging in terrorist activities in Turkey. What do you know about their activities in Syria? Were they terrorists or were they just activists who weren't careful?
I would like to explain that there were really a humanitarian mission. Yeah, and Marketa Vselichova never fight against the Islamic State. Yeah. Both of them have a very strong emotional connection with Syrian people, with Kurdish people, and they would like to help them. And I'm sure that they are not fighters. Yeah, it was not right information. Yeah.
Turkey says they had some military training. How likely is that?
I would like to explain that Marketa Vselichova is not a member of YPG. I'm not sure about Mirek, yeah? But Markéta Všelichová is not a member of EPG, and they were in the safe places in the Rojava in Syria. Yeah, and their goal was to build a field hospital because they were a witness of a horrible things when many people died because they haven't got medical care. So they decide that they must prefer a field hospital, although there was a very crazy, there was a crazy, but they don't like to do nothing.
I understand they spoke about these plans to actually finance and build a field hospital there here in the Czech Republic. Apparently there is also an account.
Yes. I got a package with souvenirs, from Rojava, and they want to prepare an exhibition with many souvenirs and clothes and many things from Rojava, which presents Kurdish traditions, history, and so on. So their plan be that after they are coming back to Czech Republic, they want to prepare that exhibition, make more money to that field hospital, and they had an agreement with a medical team in the Rojava, and also with logistic of medicamenten. Yeah, so to prepare that field hospital, there was their main goal.
How long had they been helping the Kurdish community in Syria? Is it years?
They were being them many times. Yeah, they sometimes they had some problems and troubles. Yeah, but not so big problem like now. Yeah, but this emotional connection was so big that they don't realize how big risk is to go across the border. Yeah.
Do you know why they tried to cross the border into Turkey?
In my opinion, they hadn't got more money, so they can't fly to Erbil in Iraq. Yeah, but I'm not sure. I have a message from the Amman in Jordania, and later I was very surprised that they go to the Turkey and from the Turkey to the Syria, because Mirek said to me before that that he can't appear in the Turkey.
Right. Well, Markéta had problems in Iraq fairly recently, where the foreign ministry had to intervene to get her out. Were they not aware of how big a risk they were taking by traveling in the region this way?
This is also the answer, maybe, why they don't go to the Syria from the Iraq, because Markéta had a problem with Iraq, with Peshmergs, where they were arrested before. So maybe this is the reason why they didn't go to the Rojava from the Iraq. But I'm sure that it could be better idea than from the Turkey. But now my role is to prepare evidence, documents, and my video, and so on, and send to ambassador in Turkey, and the strategy is certainly introduce and explain Turkey side that it was only a humanitarian mission.
So you're actually trying to provide evidence in their favor?
Yes.
Apparently, the Turkish authorities say that when they were arrested, they had materials relating to the YPG. They've been accused of gun running. What materials could they be talking about? Links to the YPG?
It's not, in my opinion, it's not true. Yeah, because Marketa is not a member of YPG in. Mirek, I don't know. Yeah, he was a sympathizant. Yeah, but it could be very crazy if they have materials of YPG.
They may have said something on their Facebook page, for instance, sympathizing with the YPG.
Yes. He had many materials on the Facebook that he sympathized with YPG. Yes, it's true. I recognize many information in Turkey media where it's not true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in my so I have a distance from the information from the Turkey media. Yeah.
Do you have any news about their circumstances at present? I believe they're only in touch with their lawyer. Do you know what conditions they're being kept in?
Now they were in the prison, but I don't know where. Yeah. So at the moment is the most important to prepare evidence. Yeah. Mm-hmm. About their humanitarian mission.
Mm-hmm. And you're in touch with the embassy, presumably.
I prepare evidence and. Later, I will send this evidence to embassy in Ankara.
Given what we know from the Turkish media, do you fear the worst?
In my opinion, European Commission and many other states, not only Czech Republic, understand the real role of Marketa and Mirek, and they can push to the Turkey maybe, and explain that Marketa and Mirek are not terrorists, and they should have a honor because they would like only to help Kurdish people who are in very terrible situation. So I hope that that it could be not exemplary punishment.
Right, Mr. Konecny, thank you very much for your time.
Janusz Konecny, a friend of two Czechs recently arrested in Turkey, was talking to Daniela Lazareva in that edition of Panorama. That takes us just about to the end of today's program, but we want to again remind you to visit us online. Radio.cz is the address for many more stories, news items and features about the Czech Republic, what's going on in this country. I'm Jan Velinger. For all of us here, thank you so much for joining us this day, and take care.